on to another edition of the Tomahawk Take podcast. I am your host of this episode, Jake Mastriani, and with me as always is Alan.
Howdy.
And Fred.
Good evening.
And guys, we have a exciting podcast today because the Braves advanced in the playoffs for the first time since 2001. It was a wild card series, but we're gonna count it nonetheless. And they did so really in an unusual fashion, shutting out the Reds in two games with dominant pitching, a little bit of offense, and really not what we may have expected going into the series. I think a lot of us thought, you know, if we were gonna win, we were gonna have to put up some runs. But really, it was the pitching staff that kind of carried the Braves in this series. But yeah, I mean, back to the, you know, the big highlight here. I mean, the Braves advance, and that's big in and of itself. We wrote about, I know, on the site, tomahawktake.com, you know, kind of previewing the series that, you know, a lot of people were hot on the Reds, and for very good reason. You know, the Reds were a team that were picked by a lot of people to win the NL Central when the season began, or when the season was supposed to originally begin. You know, because they made a lot of moves in the offseason. They have a great pitching staff. Unlike the Braves, their pitching staff remained healthy all year, which was, you know, big for them. And they had good players on offense. They maybe didn't perform up to what the Reds were hoping, and certainly didn't in this series. But I mean, you look at the names in that lineup, and you know, they're names that normally are going to, do big things. So the Reds were a good team, a team that a lot of people thought would be dangerous once they got into the postseason because of their starting pitching. I mean, it certainly wasn't their starting pitching's fault that they lost this series. You know, Bauer and Luis Castillo were great in their own right, but it was the offense really that let the Reds down, or more so it was the Braves pitching that held them down, is how I like to view it. But maybe the ESPN broadcasters tend to point to the fact that the Reds missed a lot of opportunities, which they did. But, you know, I credit the Braves pitching a lot for being so stingy in this series. But the Braves sweep the Reds in two games and move on to the NLDS round, which we'll get into a little bit more later. But, Alan, I'll go to your first, just kind of your overall thoughts, you know, on the series and the Braves advancing.
I tell you, look, you know, we could talk about the starting pitchers, and they were fabulous, but I gotta say the bullpen stepped it up. We've been seeing some sort of lackluster things. Will Smith had not been himself through the regular season, but he sure looked pretty good this week. And you can't say enough about a team that shuts down another team as much as they did, and that's exactly what happened here. Even though the Reds got 11 hits on Wednesday, the opportunities that they had were always snuffed, whether it was a good defensive play, a timely strikeout. It was a team effort, and the bullpen kind of led that and just shut these guys down. Now, you know, we'll probably talk about the atmospheric conditions, whether that played any role or not, and that's hard to guess. We'd have to have info for the players directly to say yay or nay on that, but that was at least even on both. I saw some great pitching. I saw some iffy ball and strike calls on occasion. Looked like everything that was questioned by a batter on either side of the field was correctly being challenged. Things that were a little bit outside, a little bit down, sometimes were getting called, but it seemed like everything was relatively balanced that way. So I saw a series with some pretty good defense, really good pitching, anemic hitting at times, but it was a strong effort by the Braves and a strong effort by the Reds too, I gotta say, but just glad to see that we prevailed, obviously.
Yeah, and you know, Fred, it was like you said, is a little bit of both sides. I mean, the teams seemed to be mirroring each other for most of the series, and the Braves were just fortunate to get that big hit here and there. But Fred, what was your just overall takeaways from the series and Braves finally advancing for the first time since 2001?
Well, you know, I was surprised at David Bell's lineup in the first game. He basically took his best hitters out and put in players that hadn't hit. Okay, Senzel got on base a couple of times, and Akiyama didn't do anything today. Of course, nobody did anything today. Two hits, One of those from Suarez and one of them from Galvis, who's a pain in our neck anyway. But the idea that you have a lineup that's coming down and, you know, I wrote about the lineup the day of the game, and it seemed to me that you've got a lineup that's doing really pretty well. I mean, in the last 2 weeks, they were really pretty close to us in terms of OPS and all kinds of things like that. Now, they weren't getting on base like us because they BABAP was awful, but the lineup was good. It was scoring runs, and then he shuffled it. And for me, that gave the Braves an automatic advantage because the lineup was not the lineup that the players expected. And I think that that's a problem when you go out there. But the real story for the Braves, for the series for me, was the pitching. Trevor Bauer was magnificent. You know, you can say what you want about Trevor Bauer, but he went out a week ago on Wednesday and threw 8 innings of 12 strikeout ball in Minnesota to help them get that spot. And then he went out against us and threw 7 2/3 innings of 12 strikeout ball to keep them in the game. And Max Fried didn't strike out as many people, but he was a lot more efficient pitch-wise because that's the kind of pitcher he is. The pitching in the first game, for the first 9 innings of that game, the pitching was immaculate on both sides. And, you know, people complained about the batters not getting a hit, but you got to give the pitcher some credit in this. There was really good pitching on both sides of the aisle until Bell left Castillo in too long and the tired pitcher gave up a hit and put people on base, and he brought in Iglesias and the ball left the ballpark twice. And that, you know, that's really the story here. Our bullpen, as Alan said, our bullpen was nails. But they get in trouble, but they got out of it. And Tyler Matzek, mm-hmm. bless you, come in, bases loaded, extra innings, and good morning, good afternoon, good night, go sit down. You can't program that kind of stuff. And for me, the pitching was the MVP for the Braves, specifically, you know, Anderson and Fried. But the whole bullpen, as Alan has said, was really, really good. Smith was good. Matzek was magnificent in coming in there, bases loaded. That's a horrible place to come in. A guy's not been out there for a while. But I was really impressed by that. And anytime you keep Joey Votto off base, one of the best hitters in the league, you've done something. And Votto got, what, a hit on the first day? And
he got two. He got two, but it was 13 innings, so, you know.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, Votto, you keep Votto off bases. I wrote the story. If you get to Votto with nobody on base, hallelujah. Because that's, you know, he's dangerous at that point, but he never got in there with anybody on base. He never did anything serious. Castellanos was a non-event. Thank God that we didn't sign him. These are good ball players. Both sides of these are good ball players. And you sit out there and you say, well, you know, they were tries, they were no good. I'm telling you, the Reds are good ball players. And they may not have had a good series, they may not have had a good year, but there's 3 or 4 ball players on that team that are strong enough to take the field for most teams in the National League. And when you beat a team like that, and you've done something, and I think the Braves should be really proud of this.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned Matzek, and I thought he had kind of fallen out of favor. I thought he had kind of regressed a little bit in the last month, and I even said before the series, you know, he's one of the guys that I hope we don't have to use. Obviously, in a 13-inning game, you're going to have to use everybody. But he was huge, and then even again on Thursday, he was the first one up in the bullpen. I think they ended up not needing him. But I think that just tells you, you know, where Snicker's confidence is in him. And, yeah, what a huge situation for him in game one. You talk about Trevor Bauer. He tweeted after the game talking about the fans and his mentions and said to Braves fans, it seems like y'all hate me and I wouldn't be embraced here. What a shame. I guess signifying that maybe he won't be signing with Atlanta this offseason, but
I tweeted him back and said, you know, the only reason they're talking about you like that's because you're not wearing a tomahawk.
Yeah.
And we'll see you next year in Atlanta.
Yeah. Yeah. Money's going to talk in that situation. All will be that's forgotten right. And forgiven to, you know, the money is right. But yeah, he was great. There's no denying it. I thought it was interesting that he was asked, you know, was he ready to come out of the game at 7 2/3? And he said, yeah, I was exhausted, which you don't normally hear a pitcher say that. You know, most pitchers don't want the ball taken out of their hand. But, you know, in that game, yeah, he struck out 12, but I think he had to work. I think that just tells you how much he had to work in that. You know, the Braves hitters, you know, obviously didn't do much of anything. I think Albies had the two hits, and they were both little slow infield rollers. One of them could have been an error. I think one was changed to an error. But I think, you know, the Braves hitters at least made him work. And obviously when you strike out that many, you're going to have a lot of deep counts. You know, like you said, mentioned Freed, you know, he was much more efficient. I think he got taken out, you know, like 72 pitches, you know, in hindsight, knowing what we know now, maybe you would have sent him back out there for another inning and saved the bullpen a little bit. But yeah, he was great. I put out a poll after the series, asking who should be the MVP, whether it should be, Max Fried, Ian Anderson, Freddie Freeman, or Acuna, and Max is leading the poll right now, and I think that's deserved because he went up against Bauer, who, again, we talked about was magnificent, and Fried matched him, you know, all the way and really kept the Braves in that game and got out of some tough jams, especially earlier in that game. The first inning, I think Votto had first and third with no outs, and or maybe even second and third. And he got Votto to roll over and got out of that inning. And the Reds had a lot of chances in that game. I mean, there's no doubt about that. They had a lot more chances than the Braves did. But, again, the Braves, just credit to the Braves pitching for not getting caught up in the emotion of it and able to settle down and work out of those jams. But, yeah, just a great pitch series all around. Obviously, you play 22 innings against the team and you don't give up a single run. That's just incredible. A lot of all-time stats came out of that series. I think I saw the one where it's the first time starters had gone that long in a game scoreless since Avery and Smoltz did it in 1991. So, you know, a lot of great stuff from the pitching staff in that game, but on the flip side of that, you got to look at it, and you know, you can't deny the fact that the offense struggled mightily as well for the Braves and the Reds. And I think we said coming into this postseason, if the Braves are going to have any chance, they're going to have to slug their way there. Now, they didn't have to in this series, but obviously as the series get deeper, as you go into best of five, best of seven, you're going to need, you know, more of your pitching will be exposed, specifically the starting pitching, and you're going to need that offense to be the best offense. Like it was in the regular season. And, you know, that didn't happen in the first two games. Again, I know they're growing up against great pitching and also, you know, the early start times, playing with that glare. I know where I was, there wasn't a cloud in the sky, and I don't live too far from Atlanta. You know, I'm sure the batters were dealing with that. And again, when you're going up against great pitching and throw in all those factors as well, I think that had a lot to do with some of the struggles. But Fred, what were your thoughts on the offense and kind of their struggles in this series?
Today in particular, first of all, Ozuna had a horrible series. The home run today sort of makes people forget that a little bit. Mm-hmm. But he had a horrible game one.
Adam Duvall too.
Yeah, and game two did that. I think that Duvall's problem is, I believe, is that, you know, we're in a short season. And in the short season, you don't get exposed as much. We saw a lot of the people at the same time, but we, you know, if you look at the pitching and the right-handed pitching in particular, he was pretty good early and he cooled off in September and he came into this thing and he saw two really good right-handed pitchers and they did to him what right-handed pitchers do to him. And Iglesias put one in his happy zone above the letters over the plate on the inner half and he turned on it, which he'll do. But it did show why he's been a platoon player in the past. Now, I'm not saying he should be in the future, but that's that. Ozuna looked particularly lost at the plate, and a lot of that today was the glare. The ball, I saw David Lee say that, you know, where they're at, they probably can't see the spin. And if you can't see the spin on the ball, you don't know where it's going. And it was both sides were that way. You saw Votto doing it. You saw Freddie doing it. You saw Ozuna and Duvall doing it. And you know, Dansby looked really bad. He was swinging. He swung at one pitch. It was Duvall swung at one pitch. It was in the left-hand batter's box. That was a bad ball to swing at a little bit, but I think that's frustration. He couldn't see it, and he was just said, well, I hope it's close, and swung because he didn't know where it was going to go. And you know, I tweeted a couple times, man, get these guys some blue blockers so they can see that. But, yeah, the conditions, that early start, the high sun over the top, had to be a part of that because we saw too many good hitters do too little against pitches they should have done something with, including Freddie. But Duvall, Ozuna, Swanson, all had horrible series for them. Markakis got hits today. I think that's because he was left-handed, and the angle of the sun gave him a better eye on that than other people. He saw pitches they didn't. I'm glad he got the hits, because I hope that's the foreboding of the future. I'm not guaranteeing that, but I think that there was something to that. He and Freddie seemed to put the bat on the ball more than everybody else, and I think that that's part of it. But it was just it was bad day for pitching. We had the best pitchers in the league, and you had horrible conditions for hitters, and that's why we went. That's why the Reds went 22 innings without doing anything, and that's why the Braves squeaked this one out.
Yeah, and Fred, just on that note, I think it was very fitting that the two of the biggest hits from the Braves came from the top of the lineup, with Freddie getting the big hit on in Game 1 and Acuna getting the big double in Game 2. Outside of those two, and I really thought Freddie had good at-bats in this game. I think he got robbed of a double in his first at-bat of the series, and he lined two balls hard in Game 2 that were just right at the left fielder. But outside of them, I mean, there really wasn't much offense coming from the Braves.
Yeah, the I think the left-handed batters had an advantage in the game today with that, because Freddie did well, and Markakis put the bat on the ball pretty well for change, and the other guys didn't. And I really don't know any other way. Ozzie, I don't remember what Ozzie did really, to be honest with you. It was one of these things that was going so quickly, but I'm sure the conditions were a major factor in that.
Yeah, he had a walk and a hit in four trips. Yeah, I tell you, the hitters overall, nobody had more than one hit in a game except Acuna today, having going 3 out of 5. And he looked pretty good. There's no doubt about that. But the rest of them were looking a little bit, I don't want to say tenuous. They looked like they were guessing and guessing wrong all the time. I got to wonder if there's some coaching they need to get about guessing better, perhaps in situations like that. But it's hard to do at this time of the season to change up your approach or change up anything that you're doing like that. So I don't know that that's going to be a part of the plan going forward. And frankly, I don't know if it's going to be necessary if they go play in a dome stadium in Houston. So things should get better. I don't think that it was a real test of the two teams in that they were both fighting conditions that were unusual and foreign to them. But, I mean, in the end, you got to go with what you got, and at least the Braves prevailed there that way.
No, but I think it's like you said, Alan. I think the offense is what it is at this point. I mean, they're not going to change up their game plan. They're a free-swinging team, and, they're looking for the big hits. They're looking for the home runs, the doubles. There just weren't a lot of those to be found in this series. And I look at the box score from Game 2, and everybody in the lineup struck out twice except for Freddie and Ozzie, who didn't strike out at all. But that's just what this offense is at this point, and you're just going to have to, live or die by it. And, again, they went up against a great pitching staff. You got to give all the credit to the Reds pitchers. But I think that's just what this offense is going to be. They're going to try to slug their way. They're not going to try to take deep counts, even though they do that quite frequently, but I don't think it's intentional. I tweeted out today, I wish sometimes they'd give Ozzie the take sign when a pitcher is clearly struggling up there, and he goes up there and swings at first and second pitch no matter what, but that's just who he is, and you take it because it works for him, and he gets on base and he gets hit. So yeah, I definitely don't see them changing up anything. They're the best offense in the league, so why would they change anything? Again, just a good series win for the Braves. The pitching was great. But now we go into the NLDS, and this will be a best-of-five series, so it's going to test the starting pitching a little bit more, and I think we'll start there. I think we know with the series not starting until Tuesday, Max and Ian will be on plenty of rest to go games 1 and 2. Kyle Wright likely will be in game 3. I have no idea what they would do in a game four. If a possible game five, I think they'd have to bring Max back on short rest. But, Alan, I'll go to you first on this one. How do you think the Braves handle the starting rotation for the NLDS?
First thought immediately is the Braves' best shot to win this thing, and I'm not just talking the NLDS, but I'm talking beyond this round, is to get these series over quickly. 3-4 games max next week is the only thing that's going to give them a shot at it. I don't know how that's going to work going forward through this thing, but I think there's some real trouble being exposed to some difficulty down the road if they end up in an extended series. I think that Max Fried could come back for a fifth game. I don't know what he would do in that regard. The best scenario I can think of is that the Braves beat whoever it is that they're playing fairly early. They can yank Max out early, and then that helps preserve him for a Saturday fifth game if necessary. But I mean, it's going to be that kind of a thing. If any of these things go to extra innings, if we end up in a fifth game scenario or later on a sixth and seventh game scenario, I think the Braves are in real trouble trying to pull things together. What I would do in terms of the rotation is, you know, certainly the three guys we've talked about, Fried, Anderson, and Wright. Beyond that, of course, we could change the rosters in between these series. So my suspicion is that in the next round, we would yank out one of the relievers, perhaps Grant Dayton, whoever it is, doesn't matter, really. You'd yank out one of the bullpen guys and then insert another starter so that they are able to at least get some length, we hope, even if it's only 3 or 4 innings. So you probably look towards somebody like Bryce Wilson to join the roster next week and then see what happens. The fifth game, if necessary, fourth and fifth games might be a lot more bullpen-centric. But like I say, let's hope we don't get there. And that's about all I got there, because I think the Braves are just simply going to have to punish whoever it is that faces the next round to be able to move on.
Yeah, Fred, that puts a lot of pressure on Ian Anderson and Max Fried to be perfect in their starts. I mean, we have to have them pitching basically just like they did in the wild card series, you know, to have any chance going forward.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, the other teams know that. You know, this is not, we don't live in a world where there's any secrets anymore. And the other teams know that we have really 3 starters, 2.5 stars. I think Kyle Wright will be fine, but they know that they have to cause us trouble and force us down the line, force us to use everything early. They'll be working to do that. Now, can the Cubs do that to us? No, I don't think so. Can the Marlins do that to us? No, I don't think so. But when we get past the Marlins, when we get past the Cubs, that's when the cheese gets more binding here, because then you're starting to run into lineups that don't have holes, that there's no place to go for an out, or that places to go for an out are few and far between. And it becomes really problematic. Now, I agree with Alan. They're going to change the roster a bit. They're going to get rid of some of the relievers, maybe who didn't make. You might see him start Matzik, you know, and do what Oakland tried to do today, which was get 2 or 3 innings out of a starter and then go to your bullpen for game 4, and then bring back somebody else on game 5, because you are going to get eventually you're going to get a break on that. But you know, it wouldn't surprise me to see Matzik go out there, Wilson for length in the middle, maybe even as a fourth starter, because his last time out as a starter, he wasn't bad. Okay, the competition wasn't great, but he has confidence now to go back out there, which he lacked a little early on. So we have this position now. The Marlins have the better pitching between the Cubs and the two teams, and I'm not sure which one. I'm beginning to think the Cubs might be easier to get to. Because Lester's getting old and they weren't hitting very well. But Darvish is a stud. Darvish and Sanchez, each team has a starter that's a stud. I think it's going to be just as hard for the Cubs to go four starters as it is for us, and it's going to be the same for the Marlins. So, you know, the next round is not going to be exclusively our problem. And that, in a way, works in our advantage, because who has the strongest bullpen? We do. I do think, you know, you might see Wilson as Alan suggested, it's a, really on top of the thing to suggest, because I was struggling. I had forgotten about Bryce. I'm sorry, Bryce. But you know, it's sort of the guy you didn't think of using him in this, but that's really probably a pretty good call. And, you know, Dayton, I don't know that we need the left-hander so much next round. I don't know what they'll do. I'd like to point out that I was right about Conferris.
Yeah, sure.
Caught Max out of trouble about saying that, but you know, there's something about being the better defender, and also having the better bat. I think that there's some bloodlines in that. His brother's a pro, and his brother says my younger brother's better than me. So there's something in that. But I think you'll still see Conferris. Charlie Culberson shocked me. I never expected to see Culberson again. But yeah, I think the pitching is. You know, next round, the pitching's the same for everybody, really. They got two good ones in there, and maybe three, and then let's hope or something. The round after that, we're going to need a lot of help.
And let me throw in something else real quick here. And this has to do with the idea of trying to blow away your next opponent quickly. The next round is a Tuesday through a Saturday series of up to five games, Tuesday through Saturday. Then the championship series begins on Monday. And the National League has been staggered behind the American League so far in these first couple of rounds, but that gets evened up for the championship series. So you only got one day off. So if you go to a fifth game on a Saturday, you get Sunday off, and then you got to pick up and play again on Monday. So there's why you need to really get through the opponent quickly so that you have a shot at bringing back Max Fried on for game one in a championship series. And that sets you up perfectly if you do that, but you got to get, you know, these things done. So, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And I think we kind of touched on a little bit. The other thing I wanted to kind of talk about was the possible roster changes for the next round. I think the bench stays the same. And I kind of pointed this, out last week, and I know I talked to it in our Twitter group for Tomahawk Take. I don't think the bench is that important, and I think if we saw that be the case in this series, I think the nine starters are going to be your nine guys all the way through unless the game goes 13 innings. It was weird to see the contrast between the Braves and the Reds because David Bell unloaded his lineup in game one and played some matchups. The Braves just don't have that from their bench. I mean, who are you bringing in to pinch hit for Duvall or a struggling Markakis? I mean, the Braves bench honestly isn't that great. There's not a lot of good options right there. I think you're going to see Pache come in every game as a defensive replacement. I think he's the one guarantee, you know, bench guy that's probably going to come in every game. But other than that, I mean, their bench, it really isn't a strength for them and didn't get used hardly at all in this series. And I think it'll remain that way going through. So I think the bench stays the same. I think we all kind of agree, like Alan said, you know, I think they'll take a bullpen arm off the roster and maybe put in somebody with some starting experience. Who that will be, I don't know. We haven't really heard anything on Volpe or Newcomb or either one of them in a while. Maybe Bryce Wilson, like you mentioned. But I do think that'll happen. But Fred, since you got everything right last week, any roster predictions for the next round?
No, I think you're right. I don't think the bench changes a lot. Again, I was surprised to see Culberson there. If there's a change, it might be Culberson. I was interested to see Panda out taking infield with Washington this morning because I think that they're still concerned about Riley's quad. I saw him run, you know, the run. When he scored today, he ran fine, but that doesn't mean he felt fine. And I think they're still concerned about the quad, and I still think, and I think they would prefer Panda over Camargo, which is a shame, but true. Again, you're right, Jake. They're not going to pinch hit and do a lot of that because there's just nobody to pinch hit. Somebody said, takes others. I said, who do you want to put in? You know, there's nobody to put in. And you're not going to see Faulty. I just don't think that's correct because the feeling they got last time was, hey, look, he's up 95, but it ain't all that great at 95. So I think you got what you got. You might see Wilson. Boy, I wish I could say and believe that Sean Newcomb's going to be important, but I think if they wanted him in the bullpen, he'd be there now. Maybe they're going to pull me in and use him as a starter, but I just don't see it. I think you got what you got. Wilson up, one of the bullpen guys that they feel is expendable down, and let's go with what we got and hope Snitker can continue to work miracles with that, because I was really upset when Flowers came in the game to run through Darnold. And the first thing that happened was the ball got by him. Now, I know it was a wild pitch, and it was a hard pitch to handle, but you got to get your big behind over in front of that ball, and he tries to backhand it, which is the worst way to catch a ball for a catcher, and he just his blocking is just so bad, and, you know, I cringe when I would rather have seen Contreras, because Contreras would have got stopped that ball. It wouldn't have got by him. Not that it made a difference, but, you know, he's just the kind of guy when he's in the game, I'm not confident in that he's going to be that good in the game. I just think Jake's right. They're going to see you're going to do with what you got, and that's what we got.
Yeah, and it's not bad. I think, you know, the nine in the lineup are there for a good reason, but – yeah, I think the other reason is there's just nobody to replace them with. And you take Marquez out of the lineup, you got, what, one lefty and Freeman in the lineup? And, you know, and obviously Ozzy being a switch hitter, but, you know, they're not gonna do that. Kind of already touched on this as well, but I'll give it a little bit more discussion as far as, you know, at this point, you know, recording this on Thursday, we don't know who the Braves are going to be facing in that next round. We know it's either going to be the Cubs or the Marlins. The Marlins currently have a one-game lead in the series. Their game on Thursday was postponed. They'll pick it up on Friday, and if there is a game three, it'll be on Saturday afternoon. But, Alan, which team are you more concerned with? Which team would you more like to face?
Let's take a poll here of us three. Who thinks that the Cubs could flip a switch and suddenly start hitting again? Because if they can, they've got a fairly formidable lineup. But they've got a lot of guys who just haven't been hitting, and they're kind of an enigma this year. And I'm not sure how they won their own division. In fact, I guess it was probably for pitching reasons as much as anything else. But that may be in a weak Central. The Marlins, we know at least, and that's why I think I'd like to face them, because we've seen them. We beat them in the season series 6-4. And even though they've got some better pitching, we know what it looks like. And I think that'll help. The Cubs are basically a wild card, and we don't know what they're going to have. I guess I'd rather face the devil you know than the devil you don't know. So if you want a answer from me, I guess I'm going with Miami, but I do think that the Braves should be able to handle both teams reasonably well. I think, Fred, you mentioned Yu Darvish earlier as being their stud, and, yeah, he could come out there and really do something good, but at the same time, this Braves team has already faced really good pitching and come out the other side doing well, so... It's not like I think they're going to be intimidated by him or anybody else. I think they're going to go out there and eventually do their jobs. Hopefully, Houston will provide a better environment for them to hit in than what we've seen. We may not have a bench, but we got a lineup full of 800 OPS guys and better. So that's all right.
Yeah. And I'll kind of give you my 2 cents on it before I pass it over to Fred, but I'm kind of leaning that I'm more scared of the Marlins if for no other reason that the Marlins don't lose in the postseason. And you know, the other thing to that too is on a more serious note is that they put together good at bats and they play small ball really well. And we've seen it in the series against the Braves this year is they will eat up some pitches. And with, you know, how short we are on starting pitching, you know, I think if they do that and get Freed or Anderson out of there, you know, in 5 innings or less, we saw him do it to Ian Anderson really in the one start he struggled in this year. You know, I think that could cause some problems, but they really just, you know, are good on the fundamentals, and that kind of scares me in a postseason like this. And, you know, like I said, if we don't get linked out of our starters, you know, I think we can be in trouble. So they kind of scare me in that regard, and their pitching is good, but you know, it's not better than what we saw against the Reds. And I think the big part of it too is the Starling Marte injury and how severe that's going to be. If he is not able to go in the next round, that's a huge loss for that Marlins lineup. So, you know, I think that could be a big factor in who I'd rather see. The Cubs, you know, obviously they have the names. You look at the names, you know, Ian Happ, Anthony Rizzo, Bryant, Schwarber, Contreras, Hayward, Baez. I mean, they have the names. They haven't really lived up to those names this year. And the pitching has been good as well. You know, Hendricks and Darvish. What's interesting too to note, and I don't know how big of a deal this would have been, but had they played today with Darvish and Sixto going, those would have been on regular, they would have both been on regular rest to pitch game one. Now with it being pushed back, they wouldn't be on regular rest until game two. Now they were pitching game two of this series, so maybe that was the plan all along, but I found that a little interesting that, you know, with the delay on Thursday, the postponement, they wouldn't be able to pitch until game two, and I consider both of them to be the best starter for their respective teams. So, Fred, what are your thoughts on those two teams?
Well, everybody sort of underestimates Hendricks. He's been really good for them for 2 years, and what he does is, and if you go back and you think of what Maddox did to you before you saw Smoltz the next day, that's why you get Hendricks ahead of Darvish, because he's everything Darvish isn't. Darvish is breathing fire with a half a dozen different pitches and eight or nine if he really wants to do it. Hendricks is all location and spin, and, you know, he throws hard for, you know, a few years ago, but it's sort of medium velocity now. And you get those two back-to-back, that's a way to unsettle a lineup. And that's why I believe that we saw this situation now. That's why I didn't watch the Cubs a lot this year, but the bats aren't very good. You're right. The bats, Javier Baez isn't hitting. Bryant isn't hitting. Rizzo isn't hitting. Contreras has been really as good as anybody on their team. And flipping a switch is not easy. In fact, Jason Hayward's been their best hitter this year. And he didn't get a hit in the first game. The left-handed bats are going to have of the Cubs are going to have trouble with Max Fried, and you know we saw that Anderson can handle left-handed bats. I'm not so worried about the Cubs bats. The Cubs pitching, look, when Bauer was in that game, the Bauer effect helped rolled over the lineup into today's game. Bauer can take you out of your rhythm. He can take you out of your happy zones. And it took a while for the Braves to get back into the swing of things. The same thing can happen with Darvish and Hendricks. You get one of them that's coming at you slow, and you get one of them that's coming at you breathing fire with spin and the bottom falling out of a 94 by 95 mile an hour sinker that ends up at your ankles. And all of a sudden, you're not sure what the ball is going to do. And that's a problem. So I think the Cubs' first two starters are really good, and then the old man Lester is going to do what Lester does. He's going to go out there and try to outthink everybody. The Marlins, without Marte, the Marlins are in trouble. Okay, there's that, and it's his left hand. And I wonder. Okay, they put a splint on his left hand, but if he gets hit on that left hand again, it could be really dangerous for him. And I'm not sure that Mattingly will do that to him. I just don't know. It's hard to say. I don't know how bad the break is, but they were putting it in the splint, and he's going to try to hit it. But that hurts. You take your finger off the bat and try to hold it out there, and then any pitch that comes inside around your hands, you flinch. And you're going to pitch in there to see if he flinches. So I think that hurts the Marlins. We saw that Sanchez has trouble being from start to start. Urena's out with a broken arm. I just think the Marlins are going to be, I don't think there's a lot of difference between the two of them, but I think the Marlins lineup may be more dangerous. They hit us around, and at least the Cubs haven't seen Fried and Anderson and Wright. I don't know if there's much difference between the two, but I kind of lean to one and see the Cubs.
Yeah, no, I'm kind of leaning that way as well, but I think, you know, kind of like Alan said, and Fred, I think you agree with this as well, I think the Braves can handle either team, and I think either of those teams are much easier, but I think they're an easier opponent than the Reds, at least on paper. So, you know, I think it's a good matchup for the Braves either way. So excited about that, excited to see who their opponent is going to be. And, again, we may not know that for a couple more days, but, and the next round will start on Tuesday. I wrote this in the article, you know, post-game article from the Reds series, you know, don't be surprised if the Braves get another early start time. But, again, I'm hoping they push those start times back a little bit with four games. Maybe they don't make it a one after the other. Maybe they have one start at 5 and 7 and then have the two West Coast games late. But that would be nice. But I think the Braves will probably get that early time slot. But either way, just excited for the Braves to be moving on and advancing. As far as the other series go, as I'm saying this, Fernando Tatis just hit a 3-run bomb.
I was going to say, how is he going to work this one in?
I want the Cardinals to beat so bad.
But the Cardinals are up 1-0 in that series. The Padres are trying to hang in there. They're down 6-5 after that Tatis home run there. But, yeah, certainly hoping the Padres come back and win that series. Not a big fan of the Cardinals after last year and really after a lot of postseason difficulties against them.
The Cardinals are to the Braves as the Braves are to the Reds.
Yeah. Yeah, what are the Reds haven't – or the Reds have never beat the Braves in the postseason, right? Isn't that – wasn't
correct.
That the note?
And I think that's also true the other way around, or at least back in Atlanta years for sure.
The Dodgers-Brewers series, that one seemed like it was over before it began. I think the Brewers were out without their two best pitchers going into that series. And it's actually a close 4-2 game in the first one, but I think the Dodgers probably wrap that one up tonight, recording this on Thursday. And then what am I missing here? The Marlins and
American
Cubs.
League.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that.
The Marlins and Cubs, we talked about that. But in the American League, the Rays took care of the Jays in a series that I maybe watched two innings of. That one seemed like it was over before it began. A's took the White Sox out in a decisive Game 3. That was after the White Sox won Game 1 in Oakland. The Twins, talk about some postseason futility. Still haven't won, or they've lost 17 or kind of lost
18.
Count.
18 now.
Mm-hmm. 18 straight postseason games, which just seems unbelievable. They were knocked out by the Astros. I'm sure many of you saw the tweet from Carlos Correa, who just keeps adding to the hate that everyone has for him and the Astros. But they advance. And let's see, the Yankees took care of the Indians in a crazy series. That Game 1 matchup between Bieber and Cole was terrible, or at least it was for Bieber. and then Game 2, and that just went – it was kind of sloppy pitching on both sides, went back and forth, and the Yankees scored 2 in the ninth to win that one. So Yankees advance in that one as well. So a lot of fun with this postseason format in these first couple of days. I still don't want to see this format going forward, but I will admit that it kind of had a College World Series type feel for these couple of days, having all these games on.
Yeah, I was going to ask if you changed your mind.
No, I mean it was a lot of fun. Don't get me wrong, but at the same time, I'm an adult now. I'm also trying to work during the day, so you know I don't get to just sit back and enjoy it like I probably would. Now in the future, if they did it, maybe I take those days off and actually sit down and enjoy it. And with the Braves game going 13 innings in Game 1, I really didn't get to watch much of the other two games because by the time the Braves game was finished, two of the other games were pretty much done. So
we have breaking news.
All right.
The game is now tied in San Diego.
Okay. Yeah, Alan's got the 1 minute head start on me. I got the delayed connection here, but Padres making the comeback, but Alan, what were your thoughts on the wild card series in this postseason format? Did you change your mind on it at all?
Almost, I guess, just because. Well, I if the Braves had lost this, then probably not. But I did think it was kind of compelling to see this stuff, and I am glad that it was a best of three series and not just a winner take all one shot deal like wild card games are. I would like to see if they were to go forward with this, and so far the indications are they're not, but if they were to go forward with it like this, then I would like to see some additional I guess, benefits for the division winners, the higher seeds, having all the games at their home ballpark. Yeah, that helps. This year, probably not as much, but it would help to have the lower seeded team not be rewarded with a home game. I am still sort of a fan of the idea of having maybe a best of three series and you start 1-0 or something like that to really, give a decisive advantage to the higher seed. If you want to go with 16 teams, you got to make the lower seeded team really earn it. I don't know that they're going to do that. I think they're looking at more like 14 teams or 12 in the future, and that's okay. But this did make for some good baseball over the last couple of days. I just want to get one more thing on the record before we get out of here. I'm a fan of Trevor Bauer. I want to see him in a Braves uniform. Sorry, Trevor. Some of our guys just don't like you. I apologize for them. Please sign with Atlanta.
That's a lot like the Bryce Harper hate. If Bryce Harper was playing right field for the Braves, nobody'd be talking bad about Harper. This is all, I mean, you know, obviously this is like envy of the thing that teams that can afford to throw that kind of money out there for a player. Bauer, if he goes to 1-year contracts, the Braves have a chance. If he's offered 6 years of a figure he can't turn down, they aren't in it. But I agree with you. I want him in Atlanta next year.
Yeah, and Fred, before we get out of here, I want to get your thoughts too, just on the wild card series and playoff format. I know you weren't a big fan of it to begin with, but how have you enjoyed this week?
Well, it's too many games, and too many games a day. As Alan said, the division winners don't get any kind of benefit out of this. Oh yeah, you get to play at home. But the only reason you got to play at home was there was no travel involved, and that was the thing. Get you to a place, get you secure, and play there. The other teams are going to say, hey, I got fans that want to see this game too, you know, and we got to have something in our ballpark. So I don't think you're ever going to see all the games done this way again outside of this situation. I do think, you know, 10, 12 teams, are going to be possible. You know, they may work it up. They may go 10 and then move to 12 and so on and so forth as they try to recoup some of this money that they lost over the year. And there's a ton of money being lost over the year. The Rays game was a men and boys. The Jays will be better because they played it, but you know, it was, they were never in either game.
And it kind of reminds me of Dodgers Braves two years ago, 2018, where they were definitely the men and we were the boys, and it was just glad that Acuna hit that grand slam.
Yeah, it's all about pitching in the postseason. If you saw the games here, you've learned that it's all about pitching and defense in the postseason. The Jays had some defense, but they didn't have any pitching, and the Rays just dismantled them. The Yankee series, the Indians, we talked about this when they made that trade. They didn't get what they needed. They may have gotten what they want, but they didn't get what they needed to be a winner. But I think the idea was to get in the postseason and have a couple of games and get some money.
But on top of that, their pitching fell apart too, and that's true.
Bieber had a bad day. The Oakland White Sox series was actually a pretty good series, but the White Sox were snake bit today. But Oakland was always going to win that because you knew that Mike Fiers in Oakland was going to play Houston at some point. and the Houston-Minnesota thing, Houston's a better team. You know, you can talk about what you want about 2017, but you go down that lineup and you Gurriel and Altuve and Correa and Bregman and Springer and Brantley's one of the best clutch hitters in the league. You look at that lineup and then you look at Minnesota and you go, well, you know, it's not really a surprise. And so I think that it was mostly what I expected it to be. I expected, you know, maybe I expected the Twins to put up a better fight. But
that potent offensive there scored two runs in two games.
Right. Yeah, but, you know, this isn't the Twins offense last year was all home runs. And they had a ton of them. And they just didn't get that this year. And that was true for a lot of teams. But I think that missing Donaldson and that turf, and I'm sure Josh crushes that turf every time he runs out on it as he counts his money. But I think, you know, as Alan said, not 16 games. I'm thinking, you know, 12 now. I've been thinking about this, and 12 sounds like a good place with some modifications to it. And I do think they've got to have at least a three-game play-in series. You can't do this one-game stuff anymore because fans like the three-game series. I don't mind that. I understand the game's got to move on and do things. But the other thing they got to do, and somebody tweeted this out, if you're MLB, the game's on ABC, you've got to get more postseason games on over-the-air networks if you want people to watch the games. You absolutely have to do that. Because everybody doesn't have MLB Network, and I know everybody thinks everybody's got cable, but that isn't true. And you're missing a lot of people with that. So, you know, they got to figure out a way to do that. ESPN and ABC can do that. Fox and MLB can do that. They can put these games out there for them. Maybe we'll see that again. But the playoff system, too many teams, but not a bad start. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, I'm curious to see kind of what the numbers are and what's said about it after the season, but. Yeah, definitely over 162-game season. I would hate to see 16 teams get in. I just think that waters down the regular season and makes it pretty much pointless. But for this year, I think it was, you know, good. And, you know, I have enjoyed this week and all the games of the wild card series. But, yeah, I really don't want to see that many teams going forward as well. I think we all kind of agree on that. But glad that the Braves got it because they finally got to advance in the postseason. So excited about that. Excited about their matchup next week in the NLDS. Appreciate everybody listening to this episode of the Tomahawk Take podcast. Please make sure that you subscribe to the Tomahawk Take podcast wherever you listen to them. Make sure you check out the TomahawkTake.com website for daily articles and updates and news updates as we go throughout the postseason. And appreciate everybody who tunes in to give us a listen and reads the articles on the website. We do truly appreciate it. That'll do it for this edition of the Tomahawk Take podcast. Take care.
This has been the 32nd episode of the Tomahawk Take podcast, and we attempted to run the credits this week via a professional voiceover guy, but ended up with this computer-generated voice approximation instead, mostly because it was free. Nonetheless, this has been a production of TomahawkTake.com and Fansided LLC, a subsidiary of Minute Media Incorporated. Opinions expressed on the show today are those of the participants. Minute Media rightly disavows all of them. All rights reserved. Some of the musical selections used today come to you under the auspices of the Creative Commons license, terms of which are available at creativecommons.org/licenses/by/4.0. These are pieces by Kevin MacLeod entitled Batty McFadden and Merry Go Round. His works are featured at incompetech.filmmusic.io. All other selections used come via rights purchased by TomahawkTake.com. Thank you for listening and let's keep rooting for the Braves this week. Ha! I guess that came out just about right for time.